The thing is, I just feel like, especially if Australia bat first and we don't get a lot of wickets, if we're only got 4 wickets into the 30th over and we have to bowl Corey Anderson and somebody else, that somebody else and Corey could be getting a shellacking.
Yes, I do see where you're coming from there, but we've got Elliot. It's really Elliot and Anderson that are that fifth bowler,
Maybe
with
Williamson.
maybe Williamson to throw a couple of overs here or there just to have a bit of a change up or to allow someone to change ends or something. So, not. Yes, you say Anderson's got the key wickets, but him and Elliot haven't really looked the medium paces that we really need, which is to dry up runs, to make it hard to score and
If
such.
the if
So.
if Grant Elliott has not been bowling threateningly on the New Zealand wickets, which really suit him, it's unlikely he'll do it in Melbourne, unless maybe the longer ground plays to his advantages.
Maybe.
I don't know. I feel like an extra spin option would help. Nobody else has realistically used it this tournament. I don't see Brendan McCullum doing it, but if he did do it, I'd be like, yeah, I called it. You had this plan all along. This was your plan for Melbourne. You knew this was what you were going to do. Heck, they may decide not Enmack, but to go with four pacers and have McLennigan, Matt Henry,
Bolton Southern.
Bolton Southee with Vettori. So you've got the five bowlers. I just like the idea of taking five bowlers to your lineup.
I do see the benefit. To be fair, that's sort of the South African model, and it hasn't really worked that well for them. I know the fifth bowler is Dumini, who's not really a bowler as such, but he's in there to be the fifth bowler. He's not in there to be
Our
a
fifth bowler
seventh
is
bowler.
Corey Anderson, who
Yeah. But Anderson's.
a good sick 5-7 overs there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the Dumini really has been picked more as you're the bowling option who bats, even though he's really batter who bowls. Whilst Corey Anderson, who I actually think more of a bowler who bats, is there for both. He is
Yeah, he
there
is a
to,
genuine
yeah,
all-rounder.
he's there to be a genuine all-rounder. He's not there to fill a spot and, oh, you also do this other thing.
Yep.
Which I feel Dumini is that he's picked as, we need a fifth bowler, you're our fifth bowler. Oh, you happen to also be able to bat. That's a good plus, but we need a bowler and we're due. And really, with the South Africans, as we saw in the semi-final, that I feel is really their, has been their weak point. It's been their fifth bowler. And they've, sort of like New Zealanders, got a wonderful lineup with some wonderful bowlers that really rip through opposition. But as New Zealand showed, if you can get through those or put those bowlers off their line, South Africa has less to turn to. And getting back, that's really the Australian
Realistically, I
home
guess
game.
Australia also are in the same position with if
Yeah.
Mitchell Starc, Hazelwood,
And Johnson.
and Johnson don't get many wickets.
Yeah,
They
that's.
realistically don't even have a frontline spinner because Glenn Maxwell, while a fine cricketer, will go for runs.
Yes. He, as you
And that
say,
fifth
he's.
bowler is even more of a mystery where that comes from because it basically gets swapped around the squad.
Yeah, it's basically everybody else who can at least roll an arm over. You're getting over, you're getting over, you're getting over.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, yes, and to be fair, you say that is a more, a bigger weakness for the Australians is that. That said, it seems to be working reasonably well for them. They've done reasonably well with apparently only having, three actual bowlers and an all-rounder and some part-timers.
Yep.
So.
Well, right, prediction. How is New Zealand going to win the final?
I actually think I'm sort of torn. I think it's going to be another thrilling chase. I think
Yeah.
that's where my thought is.
You think
Mostly with.
Australia bats first, gets 340, New Zealand chase it down with like two or three balls to spare?
Yes. Mostly I feel this because Brendan McCullum's horrible at winning tosses.
Yeah.
So Michael Clarke's going to win the toss and he's going to choose the bat. Because
Yep.
that's what Australians do, especially in Australia.
I would be very surprised if Michael Clarke chose to bowl.
Yes, I'd be very surprised as well. I think it was Ponting who said, as a captain, if it was a nice sunny day, he batted. If it was a horrible wet day with a green pitch, he would think for a moment and then bat if he won the toss. And that's just been the Australians' way. They bat first. They put on the points and they say to others, come get it. How they
They
do
like
is.
runs on the board.
Yep.
That has always been their way. I think New Zealand will, if they win the toss, choose to bat second because they like knowing what their target is.
I actually think that if Brendan McCullum wins the toss, he'll actually bat first.
You think?
Just because he does also understand the concept of scoreboard pressure. And I think he will back himself and the rest of them to get 300 plus or 350 plus, no matter what, and know that getting that will mean that the Australians, even though they've got the firepower to get it and have the nous to get to chase it down, will have to, that he backs his bowlers to be able to bowl tight enough to mount that run rate quickly and pretty much force the Australians to have to try and take a few risks earlier and therefore lose wickets and get out. So.
Well, this is not going to happen, but I had a dream last night. It's a great way to start a conversation that Martin Guptill would score a double century in the final. but would be completely overshadowed because Brendan McCullum would score the first ever triple century in an ODI, followed by Corey Anderson beating AB de Villiers' record for the quickest century in an ODI.
So we've got like 600
runs. Yeah, 600 runs, yeah. But we lose all our wickets and we don't bat all our 50 overs. Betting first.
And the Australians are all out for 50?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, cricket. So did Bolt and Salvi get all the wickets, or did they share them five each?
I don't even know. I think maybe all five bowlers got two each.
All right, yeah, just to share it around. So, yeah, B-Mac just bowled each other. Yeah, you can over, really get two wickets, back you're off. Next person you get over, get two wickets.
Pretty much.
Yeah, right. Oh, that would be an amazing final.
Yes, yes, yes. But obviously that's not going to happen. Well, let's just hope it's a good game. Let's hope the umpires have a good game and there's no ridiculous calls.
Well, if we hope for that. The other thing I hope for there is that both teams use the reviews wisely. The reviews are there to...
Well, if you don't use your review wisely, then that's your own fault, I think. But umpires are entitled to make close decisions, and a lot of the reviews have been done on close decisions, which if they've been overturned, you didn't think the umpire made a bad call. It's just that they got lucky with a good review. Yes.
And that's as... A lot of commentators said before, that's not what the reviews are put in for. The reviews were put in for, that was such an obvious edge. Everybody knows it. And the
umpire just didn't get to catch it.
Didn't get it. Or, didn't see it one way or the other. And it's crashed into the pads and he's called him out LBW and the batsman's like, I defended that. It's my pads.
Yeah.
Or, the fielding team's like, that was the biggest edge ever. And it went straight to
him. Like that. The weird one was that Imran Tahir leg before thing, because everybody thought it hit his bat, and then we saw that it didn't hit his bat, and we were like, outside the line, oh my god, it's inside the line, and then, oh wait, it's over?
Yeah, that was actually quite crazy.
And the umpire actually went going down leg, and that's why he didn't call it.
Yeah.
Which,
how he thought going down leg was... I can understand pitching outside leg because, watching the replays, it looked like they pitched outside leg. In fact, it pitched well inside leg, which was shocked everybody. And I think the whole crowd, when they saw where it pitched, was like, oh, that's so out now. And that's what you say. And then it's going over anybody, going over? But Martin Guptill is quite a tall young player. So, it's part of why it was going over. It might have looked halfway up his leg, way up his shin, but that's actually quite high for it.
Yeah, whatever the result is, great tournament. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Definitely.
Enough to stop watching football for like 2 minutes or so, but yeah.
I actually haven't watched the last Chelsea game yet.
Fair weather Chelsea fan. Anyways, we've been thoroughly enjoying doing these podcasts. I hope you've all enjoyed it, and we look forward to giving you more cricket as we move on, and hopefully maybe the next series with England the first day-night test match.
Oh, day-night test match.
At the Gabba. And I look forward to bringing that to you. Maybe we'll have a podcast up the final. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is Mr. Number 9 signing off.
This is The Fool saying goodbye.